Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, beloved. As is always, it is such an honor and a privilege and a great pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with January the 14th of 2017. I am so grateful for the gift of life that is afforded me and the world alike through the death, burial, and resurrection of the wonderful Son of the Most High, Yah, Yeshua the Messiah, and his willingness to die for you and I. It's certainly a blessing that words cannot express. The gratitude cannot express enough other than to strive to do what the man tells us to do in his word. So I'm so grateful to have that privilege and opportunity by the mercy and grace of Yah to come into the knowledge of repentance and therefore and therein to desire to be saved and to desire to want to be in his kingdom and to fear God with a dread of his wrath to come, but then with the reverence of his glorious and merciful self-being, you know, just in reverential awe of him as a child of his, and certainly would be in the dread of him and the fear of him. So I am so thankful and grateful to Yah for the gift of life that is through his son, Yeshua the Messiah, and for the breath of life that he has given to me and to you. You know, without further ado, as we're going to talk about a subject that has been pressing on my heart for so long, and it is the with respect to witchcraft and the biblical origin of Christianity, because there is a relationship between what we know with Christianity today and witchcraft, and we want to get into that from a biblical perspective. It won't be from my perspective to ridicule and mock the religion and the adherents of it that profess to be Christians. For I am familiar with being a Christian as I was one. Unfortunately, that's when I had the greatest pleasure of sin, when I was a Christian. And that's just my testimony. Every Christian has not lived as evil and wicked, as sinful as I had. So I'm giving you my testimony. For that matter, many are sincere and true to what they believe concerning the faith as calling themselves Christian and to Christianity. So I don't say this to ridicule or to mock or to esteem myself above any of my brothers and sisters as believers in Yeshua the Messiah. And for those that continue to consider themselves Christians, but there is an association that we must be familiar with out of Christianity, because we know this truth in part, and as Yah reveals, it is for us to walk into the revealing and to be open-minded to the revealing and then walk in the truth that he has revealed to us. And more as we're getting closer to the time of Yeshua the Messiah's return, we're being exposed to more. We're becoming more knowledgeable about things. The hidden things are being made plain and clear. It's exposed now. And Yah expect for us to take this information and to let it be of use to us in the way that we conduct ourselves, not in knowledge and the pride of knowledge and information, but in the respect that once we get this knowledge and this information, it conducive to us searching out Yah more, wanting to be more like the Messiah, you know, wanting to be humbled more, wanting to be more sincere, wanting to even desire the righteousness and the truth even more in respect to coming into being transformed and coming to the conformity of the kingdom of Yah. That is a spiritual kingdom now, but the manifestation is in the earth in respect to when we do righteousness, when we seek holiness, when we reject and against the lies and when we are accepting of the truth. You know, so we want to be mindful of this because it is imperative to our soul salvation. So witchcraft, the biblical origin of Christianity. But I want to touch on this a bit, just a dab, with respect to the Kimberell issue. You know, we're, what, probably about a week removed from it now, a couple weeks removed with respect to that. I didn't want to jump in the fray because, as I stated then and I say now, my support was in the support of the truth. It was not in the support of Kimberell, but I didn't want to be with the wild beasts that were attacking her for speaking the truth. But I will speak, since the dust has settled down, and we speak to Kimberell and the person of Kimberell and the hypocrisy associated with this sister, simply because, you know, when you speak such a strong message, you know, you have to live it as well. You can't just sing. You can't just speak something that is contrary to your way of life. You know, they have to be one and the same. Your words and your actions have to match up when you're dealing and handling the word of Yah. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself being victimized, being assaulted, being attacked. And that's expected to come for the truth's sake anyhow. But it's going to be of a greater degree and a hurt for you because of the hypocrisy. So, yes, I do say Kimberell was being hypocritical. First of all, she agreed to be on Ellen DeGeneres' show. And I mean Ellen DeGeneres. She couldn't have a more fitting name, even though her name is DeGeneres, but it is so synonymous with being degenerate. But Kimberell agreed to be on her show. And then not only that, you know, and know the lifestyle of this woman. You weren't going on her show to preach the gospel. You were going on the show to entertain her, to embrace her, to support her. That's wrong. It's hypocritical. And then she recorded a song called Godspeed with Frank Ocean. And he's a known homosexual artist and has been, and she has been in friendship and association with many of these sodomites, the homosexuals that are in the gospel music world. You can't have this word, you can't have this world's Christian gospel music without employing and having fellowship with these sodomites, these homosexuals. They are entwined into the fabric of this culture, the Christian culture, the Christian gospel culture. It is entwined. She was and she still is in that circle, unless this recent backlash has drawn her to repentance. And I just want to make that clear, you know, because I could have spoken on just Kimberell, the person, and why she is getting this backlash, but I didn't, because of it was so tense at that time. But as it settled down, she is not without blame and not without fault. And I'm just hoping and praying that this is a wake-up for her to repent to Yah and get away from it all. Be about the message that you spoke about, you know, in regards to at least amongst the believers, you know, at least amongst them. So in this, I want to say, get into the message. This is going to take some time. I can assure that I don't have enough time in this hour to give the full breakdown of the subject, witchcraft, the biblical origin of Christianity. This is more extensive than we could imagine. It's a lot to it, and for 2,000 years of this practice, close to 2,000, if not more, well, at least 2,000 years. I'd be thinking it's still the year 2000, and here it is, we in 2017. You know, it's just how fast time is moving. But for at least the 2,000 years of this practice, of this religion, certainly you cannot get it in the day. And only God is the one who has 1,000 years as a day with him, and a day as 1,000 years. I'm James Jordan Jr. I don't have it like that. 1,000 years is 1,000 years to me, and a day is a day. So I can take a little bit day by day, and it perhaps will get a full scope of the 2,000 years that Christianity has bewitched the world. But I don't have 2,000 years of life in me. So we're going to plant a seed and we're going to get it started. Now, as much as I'm against all religions, I must honestly say, and I'm speaking for black people, and I generally make a disclaimer, you know, because I don't want to offend any with any malice and bitterness and hatred that is so profound into the world. I want people to know that I have the love of Yeshua the Messiah. See, I do not believe that you can be in him and be hateful. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can be in him and be bitter and be malicious. And at the times when I felt or thought myself to be in him and I was acting in such a way with certain individuals or whatever, then the truth of the matter is I was not in him doing that. I was in my own self. I was in my own flesh. But once the chastening of Yah did its good work in me and brought me to repentance, then I come back in the spirit. And so I know what's of James the flesh and what's of Yah the spirit. And there's a differentiation, a difference between the two. I have to differentiate between the two. And so that his name and his likeness and who he is remain. And if there's any error, if there's any fault, if there is any blemish, it rests with me alone, and it rests with humanity alone. Let every man be a liar, but yet let God be true, and that's what it is. So I say this because I do not hate Caucasians. I am not prejudiced. I am not racist in that sense. I am not discriminatory just because the color of skin. I am not prejudiced just because your color of skin. But I would take issue about your behavior, about your character and your conduct. That's what the problem with me is. And for most black people, that's what the problem they have with most Caucasians. It's not that you come and you have a different complexion of skin than we do and we dislike you, but it is the conduct, it is the behavior that comes with your person when you come amongst our midst or come in the midst of people of color. And don't take my word for it. Be honest and true to yourself and search it out and see wherever you have gone, the people suffered. This is historical fact. I'm only 49 years old. There's no way I can make this stuff up. There are records of these accounts that is way before my birth and being the man that I am today. So I speak in regards to that truth. I don't make up stuff to ridicule and to malign and to continue in the hatred that even some Hebrew Israelites spew out against the Caucasians. And they are as much servants of Satan as a lot of the Christian missionaries and ministers and others that are the servants of Satan. Satan is no respect of person, no respect of gender. He's an equal opportunity employer. If you want to work for him, he'll hire anyone. You know, so I want to make that clear. But as much as I say, I have to say this, I'm against all religions. I honestly say any religion other than Christianity would have been best for black people. I wholeheartedly espouse the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, say concerning the Most High God of Israel, Yah and his only begotten Son, Yeshua, the Messiah, who died for my sins and was resurrected for my salvation. However, this relationship is spiritual, it is not religious. The Caucasian Gentile Christians, they stole this truth and added to it and made it into their own religion called Christianity. And this is where Yeshua warns us to take heed. When he says take heed, it is to pay close attention and beware. That is to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, as we read it in Matthew chapter 16, verses 6, 11, and 12. And then he said also, and then the scripture let us know, also to forewarn us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So what was good for the forewarning of the Pharisees and Sadducees because of the wickedness that they were engaged in, Yah never changed. The principle never changed. If he spoke against his own, who were the Pharisees and the Sadducees by blood, fleshly descendants, then certainly he mean that for the Gentiles who practice the same ungodly behavior as is reminded of the Pharisees and the Sadducees having stolen a page. But see, the spirit of Satan remains the same, and it was the spirit that influenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees to do the wickedness and the self-righteousness and the ungodliness that they were doing. So I say that because Yeshua is of one mind. His words never change. They need not change. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 6, when he let the disciples know, he says, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And then we jump to verse 11 and 12 to explain what it is. And he says, how is it that you do not understand that I speak it to you not concerning bread? Because they thought that he was referring to bread in regards to, you know, eating. But he had not, you know, referred to bread. And he let them know that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He said, how is it that you don't understand? The understanding is, verse 12. They understood, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, the doctrine, the lies, you know, the fables, and then the doctrine that produced a certain behavior and conduct. So he made them aware of that. And that's still for us today. We ought to be aware, but instead of paying close attention, we remain unconscious. And we look the other way. And we are taken by surprise when the enemy strikes at us. And so, and then we have to understand that even this doctrine, the scripture forewarns us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, I'm going to run through these scriptures. I'm going to reference these scriptures, and so that you have a firm foundation to go back and look for yourself and put this in your spirit, because this is what this message is foundational. Or the foundation of this message is going to be on the word of Yah. When Paul speaks to the Corinthians concerning the fornication, the sexual immorality that was in the church, that a man would sleep with his a son would sleep with his father's wife, that goes against what was written in our Levitical Testament regarding sexual immorality. But he says, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And he goes as far as to tell them to purge out that leaven. You got to remove it because it is contagious. And then you cannot entertain it. You cannot befriend it. You cannot have under the pretense of love, have association and fellowship with leaven. That means the falsehood, the fables, the lies, these sort of things that Christians are finding themselves to be in fellowship with under the pretense of love, but they are ignoring the scriptures and they're remaining unconscious, and there has to be a separation. Just like the liars and the world, when you speak the truth against them, they separate themselves from you. That's why Ellen DeGeneres would not allow Kim Burrell to be in company with her. She didn't even want her entertainment. But it should have been that Kim Burrell, when she knew and when she was invited, she should have knew, I don't want to entertain Ellen DeGeneres. She should have been the first to make the move. And so should many of us that are believers and partakers in the body of Yeshua the Messiah. We should be the first to make the decision to separate ourselves, not to engage, to entertain and fellowship with those on the dark side. But instead, we wait till they make the decision that is in their best interest. We should be making the decision that is in the best interest of Yeshua, the Messiah. We should stand loyal and firm, steadfast in Yeshua, the Messiah, and not give the world an opportunity against us. And unfortunately, this is not the case. So when we're talking about leaven, we're talking in respect to the flesh. And when you go in Galatians and chapter 5, verse 19, and it begins to talk about the works of the flesh and how they are revealed, and it's the adultery and the fornication and the uncleanness. You know, the uncleanness is that sexual, you know, that sexual immorality, you know, sexual impurity. And then it says that the uncleanness and the lasciviousness, that is a license to sin. It's all wrapped up into sex. And then he go into idolatry and witchcraft, which is sorcery and hatred and variances, you know, these contentions and emulations, these jealousies and wrath and strife, you know, and selfish ambitions and seditions, you know, that is dissensions coming against government or authoritative power, coming against the order that Yah even has established, let alone the order of the world, coming against the order of the world, the governments of the world, but coming against the government of Yah's establishment for his people, dissensions and heresies and all of these different things, envying and murdering and drunkenness and reveling, which is partying and, gluttony and excessiveness. That is what reveling is, and such like. And and he says, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul admonishes the saints in Galatians 5, and I read verses 19 through 21, of the attributes, the characteristics, the behavior, the works of the flesh, and opposed to the fruits of the Spirit. And so this is the leaven. The leaven, this is the false doctrine, and this is why we get into Christianity, and we notice that witchcraft was in it and other byproducts of it. But people don't understand witchcraft, because when we think of witchcraft, we think of voodoo, we think of Hades, we think of the taboo practices and traditions in Africa. You know, just people of color are assigned witchcraft, you know, in South America, in Africa, in India, that their practice, their rituals are considered witchcraft. And don't get me wrong, it is witchcraft. But what we have missed is that what I say in this respect, Christianity has been the devil's, and therefore the devil's children, most effective weapon of choice to perpetually damage the psyche of our people that God has delivered from his curses, but we are turned right back around into the devil's curses. We turn right back. God delivered us from the curses, and we allowed ourselves to be turned right back around, but into the devil's curses, which is Christianity, because of the witchcraft that is associated with Christianity. And we get into the origin of it and how the Bible has exposed it and gave us revelation, a revealing of it that was to come. And so, you know, and note this, when I speak of the devil's children, as I said, it's not respective of just the outer appearance, but it is what you do with your appearance and that speaks volume of what's in your heart. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, you know, Yeshua gives the parable of the tares. And so he goes on, and in this he goes on to, you know, Matthew 31 and 32, he goes on in this parable about this mustard seed and how it grows to be a tree that is, that's a tree, you know, grows big amongst the herbs and becomes a tree, and a tree such that birds of the air lodge in the branches. Now, we must understand those birds represent evil ones, you know, in that tree, you know, with respect to that. But even when he begins to talk about the tares and separated from the wheats in that same chapter scripture, you know, he refers to the tares, and it's synonymous because the tares are the children of the devil, the wicked one, you know, and though they do not own the devil's name, but instead calling themselves Christians, considering themselves to be the followers of Jesus Christ. But yet they bear the image of the devil in his likeness. You know, they do the devil's lust. And from him, as we understand the Western power and cultures, the Western empire and their culture, from the devil himself, they have their dominion, their power and authority, their education. In this, they import his ideals, his schemes, his inventions from the spirit world. Then they manufacture them in a massive production to export into this natural realm. And he rules over them, and he works in them, works in them. And I'm talking about Satan. He rules in them, and he works in them. He is the god of this world, as Ephesians would have us to know. And they are the tares in the field of this world. They do no good. They do hurt. Unprofitable in themselves and hurtful to the good seed, both from temptation and tribulation. You know, even one of their own, I read up on Matthew Henry. He had to say the same thing. And that's why I can say it, because I agree with the truth. So this is not a matter of black a man ridiculing and mocking Caucasian people. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. It's about getting to the truth. And in this getting to the truth, we see, biblically speaking, go to this, because this is the foundation of it all. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 9. In John chapter 4, verse 9, I kind of laid the foundation, but I don't want to not bring into the cult, the scriptures that support what I'm saying about the witchcraft associated with Christianity. You know, in John chapter 4, verse 9, it reads, "Then said the woman of Samaria unto him." Well, let me start at verse 5, and it's speaking about Yeshua. "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." And jumping to verse 9 for time's sake. "Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And that would be akin to during the slave period and the Jim Crows and the struggle that we had during civil rights, where blacks couldn't be amongst in the communities with the Caucasians. The slaves couldn't be in the Caucasians' communities without in the service of being a slave or without being harassed, stopped, and asked, what are they doing? And these, unfortunately, the Jews in these scriptures felt the way felt about the Samaritans as the Caucasians feel about the blacks. And it has been reversed, but it has been reversed. And the reversal is of wickedness and evil because, see, the spirit had never changed. See, the spirits don't die. They go from generation to generation. It is only when Yah takes Satan and his angels and thrust him in the lake of fire, and then everybody that didn't believe and followed in his false doctrines and his leaven and his way of life, then that's when evil, those spirits will no longer be in the new heaven and the new earth that exists. But those spirits look for willing vessels. And so in that, you know, so Yeshua had an encounter with Samaria. Now, we must understand the history of Samaria. And in this, we go to 2 Kings chapter 17. Because this is not a race of people that just came out of nowhere. You know, that there is a history associated with the Samaritans that we must be familiar with, and so that we can get a full understanding of what we're doing and what laid the foundation for my subject matter with regard to witchcraft and its association with the truth to bring about a religion called Christianity. See, I don't even want to suppose that Christianity was pure and was in and of itself a religion that was espoused of Yeshua and the disciples or the apostles, and that was embraced by the apostles, and then witchcraft came into that, and now we have a perverted sense of Christianity. I don't want to continue in that lie. No, it was no Christianity when Yeshua taught and preached and when the apostles carried on the same message. It was just the truth. It was just a way of life. But then when that truth met with the type of witchcraft, when the truth met with the leaven, when the truth met with the lies and the fables and the false doctrines, out of that seed of Satan brought about what we know is Christianity. And this is why the behavior, the conduct, the way of thinking is synonymous to what we read, the characteristics of the terrors of the children of Satan. It is witchcraft that has conformed itself into a religion. And so in 2 Kings verse 17, going to the history of the Samaritans, because that's very important for where we stand today, the Samaritans. And in this 2 Kings 17:4, it says, and the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea. And he has sent messengers, for he had sent messengers to So, who is king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year, and shut him up and bound him. And that's not what I want to be reading. I'm thinking of 24. I'm sorry, y'all. My eyes are failing me. But I want to go to verse 24. I was looking at that, and it's related, but it's just not related to being on point where I am. But in verse 24, and not verse 4, in verse 24, it says, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cusa and from Ava and from Hamath and from Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And then it says, and they possess Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. So what we have to understand that Samaria, the children of Israel, was the northern kingdom. And the children of Israel, because of sin, was thrust out of their country by the Assyrians because it was Yah's punishment. And in that, the king of Syria went to Babylon. Now, you need to understand that Babylon was the mother of paganism. It was the epitome of everything that was not like Yah. And this Assyrian king had gone and he put the Babylonians and all the other sects that are around Babylon and put them in place of the children of Israel. And as they were, and we continue, instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities. And so it was as the beginning of their dwelling there, that they feared not the Lord. Why would they? They were Babylonians that had their own gods. They had no knowledge and had no desire of Yah, had no knowledge that he should be feared. And it says, therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spoke to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which you have removed, that was the 10 tribes of Israel that was in the northern kingdom, that God removed them through the king of Assyria. It was not the king in and of his own power that removed them, but it was Yah's punishment that allowed the king of Yeshua of the Assyrians to evict Israel, the northern tribe, out of that land. And then he said, and then it says, the nations which you have removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slew them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. They had enough sense to understand, because they were religious. They had some knowledge of a higher power of God. They just knew that it was not their God, and they knew that their God was different from the God of the people of the land there, the 10 tribes, of which are 10 nations that are there. So they sought the king and let him know that, hey, their God is punishing us for being in their land, because we don't know how they are to function, what they were supposed to do in the land. And so the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of God, the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, and every nation in their cities therein wherein they dwelt. And it says, and the men of Babylon made Succoth, Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nagal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adrimelech and Amalek, Anamalek, the gods of Sepharvaim. So they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places, which sacrifice for them in the houses of the high places. Then it says, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from there. They feared God and served their own God. They feared the dread of the true and living God, but their adoration, their love in their heart was for their own God, their false God, their pagan ways and traditions. And it's something to make note of in this passage of scripture, because we're going somewhere, because understand, Yeshua came to Samaria, and Samaria was an existing nation, and they had not broke from the traditions and the culture of their forefathers and ancestors, even by the time Yeshua the Messiah came on the scene. So it's important for us to understand the association and relation and get into the origin of the history. And then we begin to understand why the Jews hated the Samaritans. Because what happened is the Samaritans had taken on their identity when the priests of Israel went into Samaria and they taught the Babylonians and all those other groups that of the area, the Babylonian sects, when they taught them the ways of the people, it made the Babylonians, who are now Samaritans, assume an identity and take on something that was not theirs. And this is where we see where Yeshua spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. But very interesting point I need to make before I go there. In this, when it says that then one of the priests was carried and he taught the people the manner of God of the land. See, that's a problem, as it is a problem today. Because this priest was amongst the priests that were the cause of Israel being thrust out of land anyway, because they were not obeying the oracles and the commandments and traditions of Yah. They were not obeying him. So the teaching didn't work for Israel. There was no way that the teaching was going to work and be good for who are now the Samaritans. So they only taught them the same traditions and commandments of themselves in addition to with the Babylonians who are now Samaritans brought into it. So it was just a continuation of the ungodliness, of the wickedness and the evil that was one on top of the other. We're going somewhere where we understand in this Christianity. It is rooted in this. We must get this first because it is rooted in this. So you're going to take a false teaching. You're going to take a priest that was of the priesthood that was not supposed to be doing and having the people do the evil and the wickedness and the disobedience that they were doing in the land, and they were the cause of having the people to fall. And you're going to use those same priests and bring them amongst a pagan, a Gentile, a unregenerate, a people that was not of God, and teach them the things of God that you didn't learn for and that you didn't teach your own people. This is what happened with Samaria and the Samaritans. And so they had, and not only that, their priests, because verse 13, it says, so they feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places. They took the most common men and ordained them to be priests and then put them in charge of their high places, their idolatrous places. We're going to see the parallel between this, what we have here, and what is happening in the church today and what has been going on in Christianity since its inception. This rebellion and this defiance, the scripture make it very clear. And what we have today is a reflection on what we had, for lack of a better term, let's say yesterday, what we had in the past in these scriptures. Everything has an origin, and it has been done before. There's nothing new under the sun, as the preacher would say in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new. These spirits don't die. They change faces. They change whatever they need to change in order to continue living and thriving. They are ever evolving. Yah does not evolve. He remains the same, but they're ever evolving. And so, with that brief history, and I'll stop right then, right there, we get the origin of the Samaritans. And as we fast forward to Samaria, where Yeshua was and is and heading to Galilee, en route to Galilee, go back to this, en route to Galilee. So he tells this Samaritan woman, you know, he has conversation with her. In verse John 4:10, he says, Jesus answered and said unto her, or Yeshua answered and said unto her, because she wanted to know, how you going to ask me for something to drink? You know y'all don't like us. And I'm quite sure the feeling was mutual, you know. And Yeshua answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith, you give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And then the woman said unto him, sir, has you nothing to draw with, and the well is deep? From whence have you this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? See, this is Jacob, the identity switch. They thought that they were the children of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They thought that they were the descendants because the false priest, along with the king of Assyria, mingling this religious order in northern Israel of Samaria and bewitching these people, fooling these people, and giving them a false identity and a false inheritance that truly was not theirs. But it says, and Yeshua says, which gave us the well and drink thereof, and his children and his cattle. She's referring to Jacob. And then Yeshua answered and said, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Yeshua said unto her, go, call your husband and come here. And see, that's the first order of business. Yeshua stayed into the rightful order. This order that we're in now is so dysfunctional because it is not proper order, even in the household of Yah. It's not proper order. But he says, and the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Yeshua said unto her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now has is not your husband. And that saith you truly. So the man that she was with, he went to and to her and was letting her know of her lifestyle. But I want to skip that story. Read it for yourself, because she is astonished at what he has just spoken into her life, her personal life. And it is important for us to understand that nothing that we've done and that we do and that we hide in our heart is not seen by Yah. But listen, is not seen by him. He sees everything. Verse 21 and verse 22. So Yeshua said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in the mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know that we worship, or we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Why would he tell her that? Because Yeshua is going to correct the generations of error that was going on in that land. See, there was no salvation. There could have never been no salvation with the Samaritans, because your ancestrage is of the Babylonians. And you were only put in place by the disobedience and the rebellion of Yah's people, but Yah had not forgotten his people. Yeshua come back on the scene because he's going to restore that which belongs to Yah, but he's going to do it in spirit. He's going to do it in truth. He's going to do it in love by being the gospel and then letting himself be preached, so that the people preaching the gospel is preaching Yeshua the Messiah, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his way of life, his obedience, his righteousness, his holiness, his subjection unto the Father in the righteous order. And commandments and laws. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't walk in his own way. He didn't have his own will. He said, Father, let your will be done. And he exemplified such perfection that it qualified him to die for you and I. Now that we have received the truth of his death, burial, and resurrection, it is called upon us to walk as he walked, as is written in the scriptures. And he says, you know not what you worship, for we worship the salvation of the Jews. Or we work for what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. You cannot worship God in flesh, the works of the flesh. You cannot worship God in lies and fable. You have to worship Yah in spirit and truth. You cannot worship him in the works of the flesh. You cannot worship him in fables. He does not receive of it. And this is where we understand and come into the witchcraft that is associated with Christianity, because it is the flesh, it is the works of the flesh that I spelled out in Galatians. It is the lies that make up Christianity. They never stayed in the structures in a straight and narrow way, which is this book. They made their own way. And how did they make their own way? Let's go to it, because from Yeshua's encounter with Samaria to us getting the origins of Samaria, the Samaritans, now we must come to know who is the father of this religious order in Samaria. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. See, there's some things before I go there. We'll go there. But there's some things I want to say respective of this. And I want to make sure to touch on this. You know, I said it because not only is it true, but I mean it. Excuse me. From the depths of my heart. And that's from a heart that has been made as it is from Yeshua the Messiah. But I said that, Christianity has been the devil, and therefore the devil's children, most effective weapon of choice to perpetually damage the psyche of our people, black people, but you know what? Also to perpetually damage the psyche of Caucasian people. They're not well under the spell and the witchcraft of Christianity. They're not well as either. It is why they do some of the most heinous of wickedness and have some of the most bitter and hatred in them, particularly to Yah's own people, why they are so given to deception and lies, because they are sickened people. Just like we are a sickened people that have absorbed this religion. Listen to this. So I made mention of in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the mustard seed, and how it grows to be a tree. And this symbolizes the rise to power of the Gentile Caucasian Christian empire by way of Yah's word, that seed. And it would have them to be selfish, or they would acquire their dominion and their power and authority for selfish and godless means. Listen to this. Hear me on this, saints. Christianity is the highest level. I said this earlier, and I find myself, earlier this week, I made a post concerning this, and I find myself saying it again. But it is the highest level, the most sophisticated form of witchcraft. It has our people bewitched. It has so tied us to a sin-sickened people. And indeed, this association has brought about an assimilation, this association. We are tied to a sin-sickened people, and it has made us sin-sickened. You know, when you consider the definition of assimilation, which is to adopt the ways of another culture, to cause a person or a group to fully become a part of a different society, a country, etc., and to absorb into the system, to make similar, to take into the mind and thoroughly comprehend. So association brought about an assimilation, and we become in the same order sickness. And the psyche for us is more devastating because we're not in a position of authority to come against it like those who are in a position of authority to dish it out. Though they are sickened, but it's a difference in being the oppressed and being the oppressor. And I say this, that Christianity is a sepsis. You know, sepsis is a toxic condition resulting from the spread of bacteria or toxins from an infection. And the germs and, it is the resultant of the spreading of bacteria. And so this bacteria and these germs, these toxins, are the lies. They are the false teachings, the racism, the hatred, the violence, the white supremacy, the sexual perversion, the shamelessness, the no fear of God. It is sin. And this willful sinfulness has trampled upon and poisoned the precious blood of the Messiah that runs through the veins of his body, the church, the bone of his bone, and the flesh of his flesh, the bride, the church. It has corrupted his seed, his spiritual offsprings, and made them bastards. In their rebellion, they became fatherless. This is what Christianity has done. Christianity has not only done this to those who are the direct lineage of the Messiah, being the biblical true Hebrew Israelites, particularly the black Americans, but it has corrupted the would-be believers as a whole, those converted by faith and have become, as was supposed, spiritual children of God. I say this, and let me let you know where it comes from. I better go into this. And so in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 and 11, let's read it. Acts chapter 8, this is the father of what we know as Christianity, the universal religion, even of Catholicism, because Christianity, Catholicism, the universal religion, is Christianity, and then it had an offspring, which is the Protestant movement, but the spirit of it is the same. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 9, and it reads, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Listen, this is why we had to go to Samaria, because he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan. He had bewitched. He had put witchcraft on his own people, the Samaritans. And then it says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God, and to whom they have regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. He had bewitched them with sorceries. Then I'm going to jump to verse 24, and I may not have time to complete, but we'll meditate on this. Let's jump to verse 24, 18 through 24. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. You must understand, he's in fellowship with the true saints now, even with the apostles. Listen, but Peter said unto him, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You have neither part nor let or lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Listen to this, is very important. Peter is rebuking him. It's just a matter of how he's going to receive the rebuke and if he's going to follow the instruction. And beloved, unfortunately, until next time, I have to leave it there because I don't want to go ahead of myself regarding association with witchcraft and the truth and what we get in Christianity. But you think on it. You think of how Simon the sorcerer was around. He was around the apostles. He heard the truth. He learned the truth. It was easy for him to take this truth and to do what he will. We'll talk about this next fellowship, the Lord willing. Till next time, beloved, may the Lord continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation above all else. Take care, loved ones.